Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
John Eldridge is an author, a counsellor, a teacher. He's the founder of Ransomed Heart Ministries in Colorado. His well-known books include Wild at Heart, Waking the Dead, Captivating, Sacred Romance. There's so many. And then this new one, Walking with God. He loves beauty, Shakespeare, and the great outdoors. He loves poetry, fly fishing, and a good cigar. He loves classic rock, green tea, buffalo steaks, dark chocolate, and fish tacos. Now, John, you have lost me on that last one. Fish tacos.
You haven't had a good fish taco?
Oh, I can't think of anything worse.
Oh, yeah, come on, with some salsa on it. It's a California thing. I picked it up when I lived in Southern California years ago.
We really do come from different cultures, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Hey, it's so good to talk to you again.
Likewise. Thanks for having me back.
Last time we had you on the show, the podcast of the interview was one of our most downloaded, so we're certainly looking forward to helping our hit count again.
Glad to be out.
And you're coming back to Australia, and I'll give the details of that a little bit later on tonight, but the new book we're talking about is Walking with God, and you've taken on this very tricky topic of learning to hear God speak.
Yeah, it's really important. I think when people think about, you know, longing for God or having a relationship with God, they at least hope at some level that he's going to talk to us.
Well, see, some will say right from the outset, well, does God really actually speak to us today? Does he actually do it? Or is it simply left to, I guess, the records of history?
Yeah. You know, let's dive into that because it's so crucial, you know, to having a confidence that that God does want to speak to us. You know, first off, let's just look at what we're doing right now. Mankind, human beings are communicators, right? You sit down with a friend or you drop by your parents' house, and the very first thing you do is start talking, right? And catching up, and this is so crucial to relationship. You just can't imagine a relationship where there isn't communication. And that's the picture, actually, that we're given of God in the scriptures, is that he is a communicator. He loves to talk to his people, and he wants to engage us on a very intimate level. Now, you know, there's a certain set of beliefs out there that says that God only speaks to us through the Bible, and I want to say that I believe the Bible is God's word to us. I think he has spoken uniquely to us through the scriptures, and it's really such a beautiful thing to have it written down in black and white, you know, so that we don't have to wonder. But the scriptures invite us, the very Bible that we're talking about also invites us to what I would call a conversational intimacy with God. And just one example of that would be in the New Testament, Jesus describes himself as our shepherd. And he says that because he is such a good shepherd, four times he says, "My sheep hear my voice. They listen to me and they follow me."
Yes. And that raises the question as to how we might know that it might be God speaking. How does God speak to us today then? How might we hear the voice of the shepherd? What do you think we can expect?
Yeah, I think this is really important to unpack this a little bit more because I think God is speaking to us all the time in all kinds of ways, and if we just have sort of eyes to see it. Now, again, I want to say I think he speaks through the Bible. It's not just an old book. I'll open it up, and I'll just be reading sometimes in the afternoon, and something just jumps out. You know how that is. And I'll read a passage, and I'll be really upset about something, and he'll say, you know, "My peace is with you. Be not afraid." And I'll know, okay, that's for me right there today. That's for me. But I think he also speaks to us in a lot of other ways, and most importantly, in our hearts. The invitation of the gospel is really incredible, as you know. The invitation is that God will come and live in our hearts, that he moves from the God who is sort of out there, you know, the God way up in the sky, and he comes down, you know, so intimately that he actually dwells in our hearts now. And so when we set out to listen for his voice, That's where we listen. We listen inside. It doesn't come to us like, you know, you're hearing me now, you know, out loud. It comes to us in our hearts.
Yeah.
And it's often, there's a passage, a story that's told in the Old Testament about the prophet Elijah. And he has a conversation with God, and the way it's described is a still, small voice. And so I think the first step is actually just learning to be quiet. It's rare, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, to get a few moments of quiet, you know, each day that just allows us to begin to tune in to God speaking to us in our hearts.
Yes, yes, I think you're right. I think God is whispering to us in so many different ways. Even creation, we're told in the in the Bible that the heavens declare the glory of God. Declare really means communicate. They're saying something about God. The book of Romans talks about, since the creation of the world, his power and wisdom and his very character have been seen by those, again, with eyes to see, in the very beauty of nature and the creation around us. Then, of course, he actually donned on human clothes and visited us in the person of Jesus to make sure we got the message. Then there's the Bible, and then indeed there is this intimate walk with God. And you mentioned before Jesus saying that his sheep would know his voice. We really can't divorce this topic of hearing God speak to us from the adventure of actually knowing God, can we? Knowing his personality, his nature, his character, because that's how we know who it is that's actually speaking to us in the first place. We discern, I know that. I know that person. That's the way so-and-so speaks.
Oh, that's so good. That bingo. Yes, that's great. Because, see, Stacy and I have been married for 25 years. We've actually known each other for 32 years. And I can pick out Stacy's voice in a crowded room. I could find her in a bus station, because you get to know the person. And that's what's so crucial about this. The more that we come into a friendship with God, and the more, frankly, that we know the scriptures, the more that we know what his heart is like. For example, in the book of Romans, we're promised that there is no condemnation now for those who have put their love and trust in Jesus Christ. No condemnation. And so if I hear something like, you idiot, you know, or you blew that one again, or, you know, I think we all kind of have these internal voices, right? But that's not God. The voice of God will never be condemning to us.
It's that that tone, that tonal quality.
Yeah.
This is Open House right across Australia. John Eldridge is with us. We're talking about the new book, Walking with God. The openhouse.net.au has the podcast. Now, as soon as we open up this topic, John, we have to look at the fact that we can have some problems. I mean, I think all of us have had times when we thought we heard God tell us to do certain things and the opposite happened. Maybe we felt that he said that somebody was going to be healed and they died, or we felt led to do a particular venture and later on we looked back and we said, no, that was just my inner desires, or maybe my, you know, my hidden needs at the time to look good, feel good, whatever it might be. We can mishear God, can't we?
Yeah, and this is so important. This happened to me yesterday, that my son actually broke down. He's away, a couple of states away in college, and his car broke down, and I was trying to help him over the phone, and I really felt like God said we were going to get it figured out, and we were going to get his car fixed, and we didn't. And it was very, very disappointing. And these kind of events, especially when it comes to something really big like you described of about a loved one, or this can be very distressing. And so the first thing I want to say is we must guard our hearts in times of confusion and in times of distress, and we have to anchor ourselves on the written word of God, because that's our assurance there. Sometimes we do get it wrong, just like in a marriage, you know. Sometimes the conversation doesn't go well, you know, and you don't quite hear what your spouse is saying, and you completely misunderstand, and things sort of blow up, and somebody gets hurt. This is true of any relationship. It's something to be learned. And that's why it's so important. Let me say a couple things by way of guidance. On anything that feels like a big promise or a big decision or something you think you've heard from God that's going to change, you know, you're going to quit your job or you're going to marry someone or you think God's going to heal someone, please get confirmation I always take that to someone else, and my pastor, a dear friend, someone that I can say, look, I need you to pray with me about this. And then I will look into the scripture and I'll say, God, I need you to confirm this for me. Because we can be led astray. We can, yeah, sometimes it's just our own, you know, wishful thinking, and and we have to be careful. So it's very important to seek confirmation.
Yes, and that's a very important point you've raised there, and confirming it with other people. We as Westerners, we think very individualistically, and I wonder whether our Asian and Middle Eastern friends, our African friends, will remind us again of the incredible importance of the community, those people around us, because often actually God speaks to us through other people, and he confirms things. He actually speaks to groups sometimes rather than just individual folks.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. That's so important, because we're meant to live in community, and we can't just be sort of pulling these things out of the sky on our own, you know? People have to be a part of the process. And so I'm married, and so I can take things to my wife and say, honey, I think this is what God's saying, but I want you to be a part of this. I need you to be a part of this. And then if it's a really big decision, we'll take it to our friends, our church. It's so important to have the help of others.
Mm. John, one of the things that you raise in the book, Walking with God, and one of the things that I think that has hit me so much as I've read parts of it, and I have not read the whole thing, has been the emphasis on taking to God all the little details of our lives. You talk about asking God whether he wants you to paint the bathroom, even what color, whether to buy a puppy or not, whether you should go fishing on a particular day. Those kind of little details of life. Now, some would say, well, aren't there some areas of life where God actually just gives us freedom to make a choice? On the other hand, you could say, well, maybe God's a father who is interested in every little detail that we have.
Yeah, I know that sounds a little kooky, but let me give a little background to that. I think God has given us immense choice. I think that the ability to choose and even the ability to desire is what gives human beings dignity. So I'm not minimizing that at all. But the more that I get to know the God of the scriptures, you see that he is very intimate with his children. And there are many decisions that we face that we just need help with. You know, is this the right school for my kids to attend? Is this the right car to buy? There are things that the Bible doesn't directly speak to, but that God wants to be a rich and intimate part of our lives. Mm-hmm. So let me make this clear. When I'm ordering, you know, dinner, I don't stop and ask God what to eat, you know. I make a choice. I live from desire. I live from wisdom as well. But at the same time, as I'm moving through my day, I want to be close to God. And so before, for example, an interview like this, I'll pray and I'll ask God to be a part of it. I want him to be a part of it. You know, before I go and talk to my sons about something important, I ask God to be a part of it. I want him to be a part of it. So it's not sort of a kooky, you know, God, you know, what color socks should I wear today kind of thing.
Yes.
But it's more of a description of friendship and intimacy with God that I think many people don't know is available.
Yeah.
God wants to be that intimate with us.
Yes, yes, I think you're right there. And that raises the question of frequency as well, and as to what we can expect when it comes to, you know, the amount of times that God may actually whisper to us, where we may actually discern, that wasn't just my thoughts. That was something deeper, richer. There was a voice of love and a voice of, as you were saying there, no condemnation. I can hear something different. How often do you think we can expect God to speak to us if we are in the right place to hear it?
Well, let me offer a couple more thoughts on hearing from God, because one of the really crucial things is the issue of surrender. I think you're right. We do have to be in a place or a posture, a kind of a mood to hear it. And what is very, very essential to that is simply the issue of surrender. And am I willing to hear what God has to say? You know, can I buy the motorcycle? And if all I can hear is yes, then I'm not really open to hearing, you know. And in those situations, I find it very hard to hear or to have confidence that I know that God is speaking. So the issue of I trust you, I believe you, and I really, yield to you is such a crucial posture of our heart. I found it's essential for me to be able to hear from God. And then something else that I think is important for folks to understand is, so oftentimes I'll come to God with one question, but he'll answer another. You know, I think I need to hear on, you know, whether, you know, I should move or something, you know, and God, what he'll say to me more often than anything else is simply, I love you. I love you. And it actually has bugged me. You know, why does he keep repeating that? You know, and well, the reason that he keeps repeating it is because I don't believe it. I don't really believe it, you know, and he's trying to get it down into my heart. So I think, to answer your question, I think we can expect that God is speaking to us often. Again, through the words of friends, through something like this that we hear on the radio. Mm-hmm. And right now, people are listening, and God is moving in their hearts, and he's saying, I want to be closer to you. Mm-hmm. I want to be closer. I think he is speaking to us all the time.
And I wonder whether that I love you is the ultimate answer. It's the ultimate answer which wraps up every individual answer he might actually give. It gives us the confidence. It gives us the security. Almost like Job. I mean, Job actually didn't get answers to his big questions of, God, why are you allowing me to go through such suffering? Mm-hmm. He just had an encounter mm-hmm. with God, and that was enough for him to put his hands over his eyes and over his mouth and say, I had heard of you, but now I've seen you.
Okay, that's really big. Let me just say yes to that. I have found, I've gone through some very, very painful things, and I have found that when I'm in distress, and I'm going through something very difficult, and I am looking for why, I don't usually hear. And the secret that I've learned is that you can have God, or you can have understanding. And if you insist on an answer, if you insist on an explanation, you usually just don't get it. But what I found is that if we'll simply accept the grace of God, his love, his presence, later down the road, once our hearts are in less of a crisis, then I think we do hear. And I think we can get more understanding, but not in the midst of the turmoil.
Yes, good word there. John Eldridge is with us on Open House. Theopenhouse.net.au is the place for the podcast. His new book is Walking with God. It's very much a journal, letting us into a year of walking with God himself and the lessons that he learned as a result of that. John, there has been some criticism to the book, and there's been some criticism to Wild at Heart, your most famous book. And when I raised those criticisms with you, you had well thought out answers as a result of those. So I want to raise them with you. One has been a story that you talk about having a writing accident, and it's actually quite a tragic story. Here you had heard God tell you to ride a horse, to actually go horse riding, and then you have this accident, and you're badly hurt. You really sound like you were beaten up fairly badly. And you mentioned that while you had asked God whether to ride the horse or not, you hadn't asked where you should ride the horse. Now, of course, that could be read that if we don't ask God's direction on every minute detail of life, well, he might let us crash and burn.
Yes, I understand that. And let me first say, I don't think God did let me crash. I think he saved my life. So that's my interpretation of that story. He mm-hmm. rescued me. Mm-hmm. That accident could have been much worse than it was. So I thank God for his protection. Mm-hmm. But the point that I was trying to make is that oftentimes we will simply ask God one question, and we need to ask him the second. For example, do you want me to get married? You know, and God says, yes, I have marriage in your future. But then we don't stop to ask who or when, you know? I mean, really important questions. Or we may be, you know, really, we may have a vision. We may have a passion. We have a dream. And we say, God, I want to be a writer, or I want to be a teacher. And are you, you know, happy with that? Or do you approve of that? And God will say, yes. And, you know, bang, we'll run out the door. And we didn't stop to say when, mm-hmm. you know? And he'll say, in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Don't quit your job. Mm-hmm. You know, don't sell the house, right? The point is that we do need to ask more. We want to invite God into the details of our lives. And sometimes he just lets us walk by wisdom, and wisdom is good. But sometimes he does give us very specific directions. So that was the point I was trying to make in that.
Yes. So I guess the thing is, if we don't ask those extra questions, it may not be that God necessarily will let us crash and burn or go and make the wrong decision, but we could be confused for a little while in the meantime.
Well, I think that, here's the really beautiful thing about what Jesus Christ offers to us. I don't know that most people understand that his offer is life. Again, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, the promise, he says, is, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. He really, in God's intentions towards us are good. They really are good. And the tragedy of life can really make us begin to doubt that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the offer is kindness. The offer is goodness. However, there's a condition, and Jesus says, you got to follow me. It doesn't just roll in on a tray, you know. He really does want to be there for us, but not if we push him away.
Yeah.
And if we don't ask his counsel, then we shouldn't be surprised if things fall apart.
Yeah.
It's not punishment. It's just that God is trying to teach us, please stay close to me. Stay very close to me.
Then there's the incident with your dog, Scout, and it's quite a touching story as well. You had to have him put down. But when he died, you say that you heard him bark kind of in heaven. And you mentioned your son also hearing from Jesus, telling him that Scout was playing with him and he wouldn't let him have the ball. This particular story has raised some eyebrows. Do you think you might have misheard on this one, or do you think it really did happen?
I love that. Of course he raised eyebrows. Of course it did. I completely understand. So let's just back up and follow the trail here. First off, we know that all creation belongs to God, right?
Yeah.
He is the creator of all things. We also know that in the kingdom of heaven, the lion shall lie down with the lamb. And so there are some animals in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so very, I think, respected authors like C.S. Lewis, A.W. Tozier, John Piper, believe that not only are there general animals in the kingdom of heaven, as Scripture teaches, but, I mean, Jesus comes back on a horse, by the way, right? So there's at least one horse, you know? And so you have this picture, you know, that the kingdom of heaven does involve God's creation. In fact, Paul in Romans 8 says something really quite stunning. He says all of creation is waiting for the day of its redemption,
yes,
which only comes after the redemption of mankind. All right. So you have the general category of creation redeemed, and then, as C.S. Lewis points out, well, you know, God, who cares about creation generally, certainly cares about creation specifically. Then, you know, it is a conjecture, but why wouldn't it be possible that our animals might join us in heaven? So that's sort of where I base that from, and I think it's important for people to be able to say, whoa, I don't necessarily agree with that. And that's fine. That's fine. These are not essential points. The essential points, of course, are the person of Jesus Christ and his written word to us.
Well, what you have done is reminded us that God is a guiding God, a whispering God. He loves to communicate to us, and that if we would just stop and talk to him a little bit more, we'd probably hear a lot more from him. Let's touch on, just briefly then as we wrap up, some of those essential points then to listening to God and getting ourselves in a position where we can. Now, we've already mentioned we need to quieten ourselves. We need to stop. We need to kind of put the brakes on the hyperculture and everything that we're doing. We need to stop and get into a quietened mood and simply be present. Then you mentioned about surrendering to God. Whatever you want to say, it might actually be no to me, God, but I'm willing to hear that. What other kind of three or four points would you add to those in terms of putting ourselves in a good position to hear from God?
Yes, I think that we learn to ignore the distraction. Because when I slow down, the very first thing I start hearing is, did you pay the bills? Are the socks still in the dryer? You know, you've got to call your mom tonight, you know. We have to sort of tell all that stuff to be quiet. You know, you have to learn to push the distraction away. And I'm not talking about becoming a monk or something. I'm talking about 10 minutes of quiet. That's all.
Mm.
Just create a little bit of room so you can cultivate this. And then I find it very helpful to kind of repeat the question. You know, I'll sit for a few minutes and say, you know, Father, are you asking us to join a new church? I sense you asking us to join a new church. And I'll sort of sit with that. And if I don't hear anything, I'll repeat the question. It's like finding the dial on your radio. You know, you're sort of tuning in. And if I don't hear something, what's very important is, if I don't hear something, that's okay. Mm. That's not the verdict on your relationship with God today. I don't know why I can't hear. But you just don't make this the point of whether or not you have a relationship. Mm. The relationship is secured through the love of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that is guaranteed to us when we put our faith in him. And so I don't let this become an opportunity for distress.
So sit quietly, surrender, and ignore the distractions.
Yeah, repeat the question.
Yeah.
And then, if you don't hear from God in the moment, don't just give it up. Come back to it tomorrow. Sometimes I'll even jot my thoughts down on a piece of paper. Lord, this is what I'm wrestling with. I'll put it in my journal, and I'll leave it on my desk, and I'll come back to it for a week.
Yeah.
You know, waiting until I sense God has spoken to me. And again, as you were saying, maybe through the counsel of a friend or a pastor, maybe through something I read, you know, that his counsel can come to us in many, many ways.
Yes, absolutely. Well, John, you are heading back to Australia this time. I'm sure you'll be speaking about walking with God, but this time, I guess, for your signature message on the whole Wild at Heart thing, you're returning back.
Yes, we're coming back in December, just outside of Sydney.
So this is a whole opportunity for a bunch of guys to get together for 4 days with you and explore what it means to discover God's heart, and then what it means to discover the masculine soul again, and really, I guess, reclaim that, not in a kind of beating our chests kind of way.
No drums, no drums, no fires. But what happened last December, we came over for our first time, and it was so beautiful. And it was so powerful that as we prayed about it, we sensed that we'd love to come back, and we sensed God saying, I want you to come back. And so we had an absolutely incredible time, and I think many men really experienced a deeper relationship with God.
Yes, okay. You heard God speak on this matter.
Yeah, he did.
That's it. It's happening all the time. Hey, John, thanks for joining us on Open House again. It's been great to talk to you.
It's great to be with you all.
Yeah, John Eldridge there, author of the well-known books Wild at Heart, Waking the Dead, and the new book Walking with God. Walkingwithgod.net is where you'll find a few more details on that. And he's going to be in Sydney, as we were just talking there, December 4 to 6 for the Wild at Heart Boot Camp. If you're a Sydney sider, I'm sure you'll be interested. If you're in Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, any of the other cities that you're listening to us in, Hobart, I'm sure you might even think about the flights. wildatheartaustralia.com.au is where you can find out the details. wildatheartaustralia.com.au.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.